Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. Are you radiating? I'm radiating. But what are we radiating? And that's what this show is dedicated to. It's figuring out what we're radiating out into the world, how we're radiant, what's hidden inside of us that radiates. Because my name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive, an energy counselor. And I say energy counselor because essentially my guides and angels for many, many years have taught me to dig through clients and help them find what are the sort of denser pockets of being within that create the radiances that might be difficult, that might pull you down, that help you to keep recreating old patterns. If you get hold of those denser frequencies, we can shift those, and then you radiate at a much higher level. And a lot of us in the healing mode work hard to shift our own frequencies, and we radiate at a higher level, hopefully, and sometimes we don't at all. So anyway, you're calling in tonight, I hope. We're going to call in and talk to you and my guides and angels, and we're going to talk about the kind of energy you're putting out there and how to shift that frequency and shift that energy in order to achieve a higher level of resonance. And I've been talking about, for those of you who have listened regularly, I've been talking about enslavement. What enslaves us? Well, I think it's a number of things. It's mostly, as my guides were saying earlier, as I say, I always channel before the shows, my guides always say that, or at least tonight they were saying, that we're enslaved mostly by our attachments. And where are the attachments coming from? The attachments are coming from deep within ourselves, or just within our minds and consciousness, or within our different organs. And what are attachments to? They're probably essentially to do with our identity and our need to belong to one another in a community sense so that we're all kind of connected together. And these attachments are really goofy. They're in the form of fashion, and they're in the form of beingness, maybe maybe we're trained by the media that everybody's got to be thin and have small breasts and no hips because it's fashionable to be that way. Those are the kinds of entrainments that come on. We're entrained by our parents and our genetics. That means deep down in our cellular structure, we're entrained to be, many years ago I was going off to see a therapist because I was trying to save my marriage. And there was a woman sitting behind me in my car, and that was a spirit woman. Now, I'm accustomed to this sort of thing, right? But not usually in my car. And this woman looked like my mother, for heaven's sakes. Only I knew it wasn't my mother. I knew by a little bit of searching that it was a great-grandmother. And what she said was, this is a perfect example of entrainment and attachment and enslavement. She said to me, I was the one that installed this difficult response to men in the women in our lineage. And then she presented some pictures of what her life had been like and what choices that she had made in attitude. So it was a pretty interesting arrival at the psychotherapist who I picked because he was intuitive. And I walked in and he said, oh, who did you bring with you? Now, the interesting part about that is in retrospect, I realized that he didn't grab hold of that experience and mine it for the ability to disenslave, disengage, or detach, because I think we were too naive at that point. But nowadays what we would have done in a process of de-enslavement would be to go in and see where the connections were between her, my great-great-grandmother, and myself, and where in the lineage did it resonate? Was it in the cells? Was it in the bone structure? I mean, that's a really complicated question, isn't it, to say where it resonated. But obviously, it was still wreaking a bit of havoc in my world since I was not able at the time to be a confident, proud woman and choose relationships that reflected that. Anyhow, you see, and then the art of dealing with that would have been to develop the resonances, to figure out where it was, to feel it, to experience it, and actually using some of the energy ploys that we use these days to shift it out of my body, mind, emotional self. And the other thing that's really interesting about that is it would have taken it out of her frequencies, even though she was well on the other side. Because back to enslavement, isn't it interesting that if I'm let's pick something I'm bitter about. Let's pick a relative. I'm bitter about my brother or my mother, something like that that's really normal. And then somebody dies. They go to the other side, and without that unhooking, guess what? They move through an evolutionary track that is perhaps slow. I mean, we'll all move our way out of it, but we don't move out of it whippity-snip. We move out of it very slowly, at least to me, relative to conscious evolution, which is a word that's being used a lot. And there's a book by Bruce Lipton and Steve Behrman called Conscious Evolution. I'm going to talk to them next week on Paradigm Shifters. But in any case, it's like, if you're going to be conscious about your evolution, who would want to go through a big, long trail of leaving the planet and going out into the universe, into the fields of heaven, or whatever we want to call it, the Bardo, and actually clear all of that enough to come back and live it out some more. Not just live it out some more, maybe live it out at a higher level. Oh, we already have a caller. You're on the air, and I'm going to let you on even before my meditation, so welcome.
Oh, no. I could wait.
That's okay. Just ask a question.
Okay. I'm sorry. This is Lisa calling again from California.
You don't have to apologize, honey. I let you on because I thought, well, this would be a nice break from our usual engagement to my routine.
Okay. As long as you're open to it.
What's that?
As long as you're open to it.
I am.
And I was listening to what you were saying about walking through fears. At least that's how I've kind of translated into my head, is getting rid of the fears in you that you're not even sure where you even got them from.
Right, and don't be enslaved by them.
Yeah, and I guess my question would be, I know that there's something, like a little bit of a block that keeps coming back. I just was wondering if maybe you could help me tap into it so that I could release it for once and for all.
I want to ask you this. Did you have a very suppressive childhood? For example, what I'm looking at in Lisa is something that's pinning you down around the chest area, which tells me that there's something in your lineage that says, I'm afraid to really express, because if I do, I'll make an ass of myself, or I'll lose the family pride or whatever, yeah?
I don't know if that happened at a specific point, but that's the ongoing conversation, and it's like I'm trying to break the shackles off, but that's the exact conversation that's happened.
Well, let's do it, Tim. Let's see if we can do it for not only you, but for other people who are listening. Let's find something in your, and those of you who are listening, wrap yourselves in light, and you can ask your higher self to put some kind of awareness in your body-mind that comes from a suppression that came from your family. We all have them. We just described what Lisa is revealing, but there can be all kinds of them, so let's just see where the suppressions are. And actually, I have one sort of similar to yours, Lisa, so I'm going to go with that, okay? And we're going to wrap ourselves in light because we don't want to have to share somebody else's genetic suppression. We want to be clear enough to have our own, thank you very much. And then we're going to call in our guides and angels and ask for help. I'd like to amplify that one that was in Lisa, which says you better, like you're really pinned down around the chest area. And that's courage, inspiration, flights of fancy. I still see that you're very loving, but you've got this fear of undoing that suppression for fear. Really, it's something simple, like you're going to make an ass of yourself and it's going to destroy family reputation. Was your family fairly well-to-do?
Like, no. I mean, we weren't poor, but we weren't, like, wealthy. We were upper middle class, I guess.
Well, let me ask you this. Did they have a sense of you don't want to destroy their position in the social structure somehow?
No, but you want to know something. This is all very quick for me. I was in an abusive family. Like, my father was very abusive to my mother. And that was a secret. I don't think many people knew that growing up, and I remember carrying that around in the tub.
And your phone is not clear to me. So anyway, that is actually a very good example of enslavement, isn't it? We know something's going on, but we're not allowed to reveal it because the family will get shattered. So you have to stay locked in a kind of a prison of people's point of view, right?
I guess that's where that came from.
Isn't that interesting? So what we're going to do is ask for help and get everybody at home to find some place in yourself that's locked in like that. Now we're going to ask for help from our guides and angels to actually reach in. Okay, they're asking me to help you focus into the base of your spine. Because remember this, Lisa and other people at home, it's very related to your survival instincts. Okay? Because if you do the wrong thing, you won't survive. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so we're seeing at the base of the spine in the red chakra, and we're going to send some energy there, and the guides are working with you. They're unhooking something, which is a deep, deep lineage program. This is not new in your family. It comes down to about 4 or 5 generations. Do you realize that?
No.
And so they want to run a violet flame into the base of your spine. It's a red light that's there, but they're sending a violet light up, and there's a lot of gold in it, and they're sending it right up there because they want to disrupt the pattern that's in the base chakra. And we're just going to send that right up your spine. Okay? And you should find, as it goes up your spine, headed toward your skull, of course, you should find somewhere around the chest that there's a certain kind of heat that comes up, and then it should kind of disperse. Oh, it makes your feet feel weird, does it?
Totally.
Okay, so we're going back to the base of the spine. Well, I would just go right back and start. Well, when the feet start acting up, we're going right back to the base of the spine. Because it just means that somebody's scared at a deep level that they won't be able to hold themselves up, that everything will crumble. And we want to say to you that some ways in which you hold yourself together will crumble. But I promise you this, the new ways are much more vital and much more light-filled. Yeah. And I know that you loved your parents in a way, and that's the confusion, isn't it?
I guess so. It's not conscious. It's not a conscious... I'm not aware of that.
Do you think you hated them?
Oh, no. I'm aware that I loved them, but I wasn't aware that I was holding all of this in, I guess.
Yeah, it's really fascinating because there it goes. Now things are starting to move. You're a very, very loving woman who's been trapped behind this fear that there's something about you that's going to tear apart whatever it is you want. And you won't, honey. You won't at all. You're very, there you go, right there. You're very, very loving, and you're opening, and the guides are helping you open right now. Now, remember this. You're both your parents on the other side?
No, neither of them are. But my grandparents are.
But what?
All of my grandparents are.
Okay. But it's interesting because I see your mom and dad as if they're on the other side. They need to be released as well. You understand that? They have to be released as well because we're talking about enslavement. And then they, as you release yourself from them, they find a certain kind of release as well. And then their capacity to love grows and your capacity to love grows and you're not enslaved anymore. You understand that?
Yeah, and I feel like I've done so much work. It's ridiculous, but if you're seeing it, then I guess there's something that I just still need to let go of.
What do you feel in your chest right now? Because to me, it's just moved up to about 2/3 of the way up the chest.
I just feel a lot of heat.
Okay. And now we're going to go one more time at the base of the spine, and we're just going to shoot some light all the way up through the spine. And you should feel it lighter. And people at home, I hope that some of you will call in. We're going to do our meditation after this. And I want to talk more about releasing. Because what's happening here, Lisa, is your mother especially is being released by this, by the cords between the two of you.
Yeah.
I can see her feeling lighter and freer. And I thought she was on the other side, but it doesn't matter. It's her etheric self, I suppose we'd say, hey? Now, do you feel
well,
a little bit...
Okay.
What's that?
And I don't want to take up any more of your time.
Okay, but I think we did a good job, so maybe we'll talk about it later. Or email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com.
Yes, thank you so much, Veronica. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're very brave to do this on global radio.
Yeah.
All right, honey, don't be a slave. You don't need to be.
Thank you so
All
much.
Right.
I'm going to continue to listen.
Thank you. All right, well, that was a really interesting call. Now, everybody, close yourself off. And now we're going to do the sacred geometric healing structures. So let's everybody take a minute and breathe. Breathe in and out again. And call in above your head, perhaps 2 miles, a golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball through your spine into the lower golden ball. And from the upper golden ball, waist height, drop a four-sided gold pyramid. And then it's about 20 feet away from your body. And then upside down, meeting it and pointing into the lower golden ball, another golden pyramid, four sides. So there you are in an octahedron, and isn't it beautiful? And inside of that, there's a crystal ball, and the outside edges touch the inside edges of your octahedron. Good. And inside of that, let's be in a Star of David. It's known as Star Tetrahedron, and it's a three-dimensional Star of David. And in there, remember you've still got the filament of light running through your spine. In there, start to spin and spin and spin. And as you spin and spin and spin and spin and spin, oh my, you can feel your body energy flinging. It truly lifts your fields and frequencies. And whilst you're spinning, look in front of you and on this amazing crystalline grid, see yourself creating all these little, maybe they're holographs or movies. See yourself creating all these scenarios in which you star. The first one is just you and what you want to become. And I always want to become a multidimensional being in that one. So there I am up there being a multidimensional being. What are you being? And I'm always coming from the heart. Okay, and then you spin and spin and spin over here, and you see yourself being multidimensional. Good. Now wrap that in light so it can stay that way. And then you go to this project that you want to do, whether it's a home and family domestic project or whether it's something like, oh, an invention, a business, a book, or something, some major thing you want to do. And see the resources coming. And see yourself creating your project. The resources come, the money comes, the people come, and the project gets going, and you just see it, and you're smiling, and you're participating all the ways you want. And just see it, and as it goes really well, it's just glowing. And the resources continue to come. And so when you wrap it in light and walk away, you know that it's going to sustain itself beautifully. And now to the next one, and it's the healing room, the magical healing room. Now see yourself in the healing room with the team around a beautiful table, a healing table. And the first person that lays on the table is, ta-da, you or me. We lay on the table and we ask for some help. Good. And ask the healing team what it is they'd like to do for you, or you ask them what you want them to do for you. Either way. Mm-hmm. I like asking them what they want to do for me. They seem to see things about me. Now, what kind of tools are yours using? What are they doing to help you? Are they doing energy? Are they drawing things out? Putting things in? Laughing? Doing surgery? Okay. Now take a minute and ask if there's any advice they want to give you or any suggestions for your own healing. You may want to jot that down. Thank them. And now wrap that scenario in light. And remember, the team can replicate themselves. So we create the team again around a new table. And bring someone in that you know needs help or healing. Ask the team to work with that person. And watch how they work with that person. Excellent. Now, my person has physical difficulties, but I see that they're working with her brain pattern. And they're shifting something in the brain and soothing her and then working with the body. What's happening with your team? And wrap that in light. And let's bring in a fresh table and replicate the team again. And bring in another being. And sometimes that other being wants to just come in. Not maybe somebody you don't even know, doesn't matter. And ask what they can do to help, or what can you do to help the healing alone. Okay, and then is there any advice for this person from this team? Okay, you might want to jot that down and then wrap them in light. And then we always like to do a political one, which is to send, I always like to start with sending Mr. Obama a lot of light so that he can carry out the highest ideals that he brings for the sake of all people. And so we send light to Mr. Obama and to the White House and to the Pentagon and to all the associations that he has, that the evolution of the species maintain itself through these world leaders. And now let's call in the light from above and run it through our heads and down in through our hearts. Let's make it pink. And call in this pink light and send it out to the White House, again to Mr. Obama, and to all the difficult hot spots on the planet. Consciousness is a funny thing. We can consciously raise the fields and frequencies intentionally all over the world. And we're doing that with the pink light of harmony, respect and love, and have that pink light pour all over the world till the world is a radiant pink ball, and it just radiates out to where the ETs, other beings from different systems, are, and they can see that we have that harmony here. Good. And now bring that back and into your chest and fill your own body with light and harmony. And then look Let's go back and close off the healing room, saying thank you to the team. And then bring yourself back into your star tetrahedron. And spin and spin and spin. Now that you're all spinny, come on back into the room. Excuse me. I find that's pretty amazing work. I don't know if any of you have any feedback on what it's been like to work with the sacred geometric structures over these many, many weeks. But I find that it does make a difference with people. Hi, have you got feedback or you just got something to say? You're welcome. Hello?
Oh, yes. Hello. My name is Susan. I spoke with you maybe a year and a half ago a couple of times on the air. And,
hi.
anyway, I was pursuing a rather foolhardy path with someone that I had known when we were very, very much younger. And I was warned against pursuing it, so I stopped it. And then I got involved with someone who broke up with me. He suggested that I still had resentments against this person and someone involved with him. So I got re-involved, but it started getting into something more intimate, you know. Not physically, but, you know, like, let's say over the phone or whatever. And, you know, it became like semi-publicly pronounced on his website, connected with him and my website. And, you know, anyway, the whole thing wound up me having to go into exile and people getting mad at me, and my computer equipment was stolen. I didn't have computer equipment for about a year and a half, so I haven't been listening to BBS for that long and everything. And, you know, I'm just really at a point where I'm even experiencing some, like, appropriate guilt for my actions to see how foolhardy this was. Because this was somebody who was well-known and very wealthy, and I was playing personalities against each other. You know, I created a lot of bad karma, you know, and now I'm hurting from it, you know. I had a lot
Why'd
of resentment. Why'd I do it?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's an interesting question. I was just thinking about that before I went on the air with you. Because there was a spirit guide who crossed over, and I think that he had some guilt about what he did or didn't do with me during his life, and he told me that person was having problems with their marriage, you know. No, he suggested I connect, and I said, excuse me, this person's a married man. And he says, I give that marriage 2 years, you know, and you ought to grab him before somebody else does. So the thing is, you know, I went on the internet, I found out it was true, so I figured, oh, you're pretty hot stuff if your spirit guide told you that, so why don't you follow it up, you know? And so I did, you know, and it caused a lot of destruction. I mean, I'm sure it caused disruption. Came out all right for him, because I think what happened is that him and his wife started going in for very heavy-duty counseling, and I think their marriage is way more solid than it ever has been, you know? And it's good.
So you stepped into a can of worms, didn't you?
I did, and I stepped into it at a time when things were very up in the air. Yeah, I did, and I got burnt. I got burnt.
Well, here's another thing, is that when you have some kind of advice like that from your spirit guides, first of all, there's something about you and something about the spirit guide, and something about you is was very cynical and was holding herself back. Talk about, you know how we get enslaved by our subconscious, the stuff that's been programmed in there? You had a whole lot of that subconscious stuff that was wondering if you were ever going to have anything. It's like a little bit of the old family victim stuff. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like the spirit guide just played into that and encouraged you to take a run for your money.
Yeah.
You know? And so you were enslaved. If I'm using the word enslavement because that's what I'm talking about tonight. But
you
were enslaved.
That's fine. I mean, I feel that I can relate to that. Yeah, totally.
Okay, so it's like you were enslaved with that, by that weird karmic thing which keeps us running through patterns. And it's really a challenge, but it's an essential challenge for us to stop and rethink it. And that spirit guide, I mean, there's a lot of nonsense out there. Just because people die doesn't mean they have brains, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or evolution, right? That person was just egging you on. It's like someone of a slightly lower consciousness that was saying, yeah, let's get into mischief here. Come on, let's go. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's really hard to know how to trust. But I'll tell you what, if your answers from the spirit guide come in such a way that you're going to walk into a complicated thing, you can rest assured it's not a very high consciousness being, you know? The really high ones are going to help you extricate yourself from the murkier consciousness that's been locked in your body. Mm-hmm. You know that? How does that sound?
Well, you know, it makes sense because the thing is that he had written about me or written songs about me and complained about my attitude towards him and things that were written like decades ago, you know. So I was bringing him back into his youth, you know what I mean? And I was dealing with the situation as it was 20, 30, 40 years ago, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the whole thing was so nuts. The whole thing was so crazy.
Well, I hope that you're going to feel a lot better because one of the good things about what's gone on is even though it's been excruciating for you, you're pretty much done with that kind of feeling. And we're recommending that you would call up. And everybody at home should do this. Here's something to wrap yourself in light and call up all the victim energy that's in there. Because that energy that's so deep in all of us to a degree, but we're talking about you right now, is that energy has just driven you energetically right into something to amplify it in terms of result. And I feel like that you're going to step up. You can choose to consciously step out of that which has been locked right down in your lineage. It's just your parents as well and way beyond. You can step out of that and begin to have a really good relationship next year. But you have to be the relationship you want to have. And that, to me, is one of huge clearing. You're going to do a lot of clearing between now and then.
I hope so, you know, because I've tried to have all these other relationships and they haven't worked because I've had this going on in the background the last few years, you know.
Yeah.
And you suggested that I, you know, look into something that a man wrote about, Between Lives, and I did, but I can't even remember what it is because I don't even have my files. My computer's stolen, so I'm like square one. You know, I just think I need to just let go of this whole thing.
I think that you're going to find, you know, and here's another thing that's really interesting. If it is Between Lives, if it's past lives and so on, you don't have to know all that to actually stand firmly right now and be centering yourself. And when the hooks come or those cravings for someone come in, like I always say to people, when it's a soulmate, that's somebody you've known before, and they're the hardest things to walk past. But sometimes it's the most important thing when you feel so magnetized to someone to drop back into center, do a lot of clearing and then walk on by because it's just an invitation or magnetism to work out a lot of karma the hard way, which is what you've just done.
Yeah, and you know, there's another thing too. It kind of got me being very, very creative. But I wrote some songs about the guy and some of them are very, very spiritual. But the thing is, like, it was kind of strange. It's like it magnetized a very kind of lucrative 5-year contract with a lot of money and a lot of options. And then the manager, he died of AIDS. He died of AIDS right after we started going at the project. And everything, you know, like a collapse, like a ball. And I just feel like maybe it was just based on something that was going to get everybody way over their heads into trouble. Not just me,
but the
manager. I thought it was very interesting that he died, you know.
Isn't that interesting?
Is he okay? I mean, you know, I think that we were all getting ourselves, including, you know, my ex-partner, if you want to call him that, you know, we were all getting ourselves into something way over our ability to handle.
And I think it's really interesting because you need to get all the way out of that. The person who died of AIDS is now pretty much okay, but he's focusing a lot on what's left over. There's still a lot of, now pay attention to this part. There's still a lot of attractions, of pulling, and of some really intense reactive stuff between the souls that were all caught in this. And I would ask to throw them into the double tetrahedron. Throw them into something and spin them and spin them and spin them, but stay still and don't be reaching out to involve yourself because it's just hot wires. It's hot wire to karma.
It's still hot wire, and I ain't, no. I got the message, just hands off, and I've been hands off.
Yeah, well, stay hands off for a while because by next year you'll find it much easier. So thank you for your call.
Okay. God bless.
Yeah. Thank you. It was a brave call. Boy, oh boy, that's a real interesting one. And talking about karma, because that was really a bunch of karma. And that young lady and a lot of us go against what we know at a deep level. And when we go against something we know at a deep level because we just want something or we think it won't matter, very often it is a very karmic or a soulular thing. We're vibrational beings of light, as you know. We're vibrational beings of light. And where we're enslaved is the vibrations left from karma, left from family affiliations, left from parents and parents' difficulties, which we absorb and we pass on down through the lineage. Something interesting that I learned years ago, because I used to work on a lot of abuse cases, which I don't so much anymore. I'm pretty much always with Transformers. But I remember if people have abuse, it'll very much be passed, like really intense abuse. It'll be passed down the lineage. If you adopt a child or a baby right from the womb, you'll find out that it also has the vibrations of abuse, and you'll carry on that process even though the child's adopted. And recently we were watching a movie, a couple of days ago we were watching a new movie, and it's called, what is it called here? I'm trying to see the name of it. What is it called? It's called The Living Matrix. And it's talking about all kinds of vibrational, it's got some very, very top of the line people like Lynn McTaggart and Eric Pearl's Reconnection and so on. And each of them is doing snippets about, a little bit like the way they put the bleep together, each of them is doing snippets about how energy works. And what they're talking about there is it's very interesting that, and I talked about the sexual abuse and how it didn't matter who adopted who, that they all had that same configuration, which tells me that people are attracted, whether it's karmic or whether it's of this life or whatever, we're attracted by the magnetism deep within or by the vibrations deep within. So what they were saying there is if somebody has a special kind of like a kind of cancer, say a colon cancer or something, and they adopt some children, the children will have the same vibrational configuration. And I think that's fascinating, and the question I ask of that is, well, what's the source? Is that because the souls come together with that plan to work that out, or is it because the frequencies that we have innately in our body minds are powerful enough to bring that up in the smaller ones around us? Like what I guess I'm asking is, are they contagious on a physical level as well? Probably never going to know that, but it's a pretty interesting reality that we glom together. Thanks for your call. I'll be with you in a minute. We glom together with people who resonate with us, body, mind, and spirit. So welcome, you're on the air.
So we better just roast ourselves in that purple flame, huh?
You bet. Get on that hot dog stick, girl.
And glom together with some high vibrating beings.
Exactly. So when you're really attracted to people, start doing that violet flame like mad and transform it all together.
Yeah, you know, the circle I was trying to do, the women's circle, I'm really wondering if I should keep doing that because it's just so much work and I just feel so much resistance. Is it me? Is it the people I'm around? Why isn't it? What's going on with that?
Well, you're resistant right now. Why is that? You were resistant a month ago. Here's the deal. Back to the collection of people according to their magnetism and so on. The guides are saying a lot lately that the frequencies are moving up very, very fast. People are going, we know that already, don't we? And
mm-hmm.
people are going through tremendous changes as a result. It's almost like we're being, mm-hmm. I think Alexis said, it's like we're being fractured deep within, and it's really sometimes difficult to stay stable. So you're the second one I was talking to about groups that don't work today, and the guides were saying this, that by November it should stabilize again, but really people can't focus properly right now. They're pulling back and going forward, and they're fighting off change, and they can't fight off change. And it's
mm-hmm.
just a little bit harder to pull things together.
Mm-hmm.
And you yourself, darling, have been through a tremendous amount of inner change, and there's
mm-hmm.
still a resistance toward mingling with people in you,
mm-hmm.
is there not?
Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I'm just afraid.
Why don't you just play it gently and keep doing it, and then all of a sudden you find it's a lot of work for you. Because they say that all of a sudden people are just going to come.
Okay, so keep trying. I mean, I'm not swimming up the river the wrong direction or something.
No, you're swimming forward at a time when people are swimming sideways and upside down. And then when it's time, it seems like they just move together. Because here's the other thing the guides keep telling me about, that we really need to learn to resonate in community now. We
mm-hmm.
need to move forward. And you can be at home hiding under the bed and do that. You don't always have to be in a physical company of people. But you see, because the changes are so radical, and for example, if we do the thing where you can resonate with adopted children and create the cancer frequency in them, what if we resonated with adopted children and created the evolutionary frequencies
mm-hmm.
in them, you know? It's
mm-hmm.
kind of like that, is consciousness in community or consciousness about community consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing is the right kind of thing. You're just struggling within yourself. And the time will shift very soon where it's a little bit more in accord.
Okay. I love the analogy of I'm swimming upstream and we're all swimming sideways and upside down. That's good.
It sounds like a piece of art for you to create, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was taking it too personally, and that's what I wasn't willing to do anymore. It's like, oh, my feelings are so hurt because nobody will come to the circle. And so I was like, I'm not going to do that. It hurts too much.
Well, tell them it's called
personal.
A spiral now, and then they can come at it different directions.
There we go. It's not a circle. It's a spiral. Okay. Thank you so much for the encouragement.
Thank you for your call, and keep on trucking. We're all moving these days.
And I loved the Galexis last week. That was so great, having Galexis on. I loved it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll pass that on.
Keep up the good work, honey. Blessings.
All right. Thank you for your call. All right, now, so here we're talking about enslavement. You see how easy it is for us to be enslaved. For example, nobody comes to the circle. We know that there's an evolution going on. You want to draw people in, but the first thing that happens, nobody comes, and we drop into an old thing of I'm not good enough, or who do you think you are, and so on. It's really an interesting time where we have to unhook that. The greatest value in that is for her, as well as other listeners, to start unhooking that and then keep swimming upstream. Because those streams, white water streams right now, are moving us all in a direction of forward motion. But it's requiring that fracturing to release a lot of the ways in which we have defined ourselves. It is true about enslavement, and the guides were saying it earlier, that our attachments to, for example, childhood abuse, our mother was suffering, our father died, whatever, all of those things that came up. The other enslavements are to being in the convention, to being like everyone else, to be identified with being rich, with being, all these different ways of being enslaved are ways of holding on to identities that keep us from unfolding and changing, don't they? and the ways that we've been shamed, the ways we've been isolated from other people because we don't belong. These are all enslavements, aren't they? And of course, I go off on my the media enslaves us because they tell us how to think. If you have a whole crowd of people thinking certain things, you're going to be thinking that as well. That's a kind of enslavement. So what's the solution? The solution is to come apart, to break things apart, and really start to hear on an inner level who you really are. What does it take? It takes maybe dropping into center, doing a meditation, doing a workout, clearing your chakras, but it's all dropping into center and extricating yourself from whatever the frequencies are around you so that you can follow that. I always say the divine pulse of your soul is like the grass that cracks the sidewalk, so you can follow the inner directions and not like the way our young lady, the second lady who called, not like that where we're following the, desires that are coming through to be attached to someone who's not really available. That sort of smacks of a, well, I'm not preaching against that, let's see. When we're pulling in, and you could see it from her own frequencies, we're pulling into somebody that we know at a deep level is going to be difficult for us. You can rest assured that you're pulling toward a desire, a craving, an addiction, a karmic pattern, an incomplete, which you want to do because we all crave those things. But that's not thinking for yourself. At that level, you really don't know who you are. You're kind of, have you ever felt that where you're sort of compensating about what it is you want to do and then rationalizing that, oh, it'll be okay just this time. Nobody will notice. I'll just go ahead and do it anyway. I've done things like that in my life. But those are where you're following drives that come through you, but they aren't really who you are. And that's where we get the enslavement. That's the part that's really kind of, it's going to drown us. And we end up living a life instead of creating the reality we want. Because this whole thing, all the stuff we're talking about is learning to get to a point where we can live in integrity and in congruency with who we really are, and we can create the reality we want, which is a function of creating the whole community we want and an evolving pattern for people, isn't it? Anyway, so that what she followed was a whole karmic thing. Let's see here. I'm going back to my notes here because there was something that, oh, yeah, one of the things that Jackie's team talked about last week that was so amazing to me, and I've really gone through it a lot because I work with a lot of people helping them unhook from the patterns that came down through their lineage. Now, what they were talking about is the enslavement of, for example, the mother-daughter. Say that the lineage that comes down to the mother is one of, they were just picking on, say you've got a really difficult or tyrannical mother, and she's really cruel to her daughter. And then her daughter has a daughter. The daughter is missing the pure light of the goddess energy. She's missing the pure light of the feminine, the goddess energy is the best way to put it. And so the daughter sees this, or sees her daughter, her own daughter, as the fulfillment of that desire. So it's back to the old desire thing, isn't it? And then because she sees her daughter as someone who can plug that hole, if you will, or replace the missing goddess light, she doesn't treat her daughter in a way that is going to train her daughter. She treats her daughter, she lets her get away with too much. She treats her daughter with a much higher respect than perhaps she deserves, doesn't teach her right from wrong and so on. And so then the daughter herself has a negative ego that is out of control. So then the daughter really brings forward the energy of the mother. Not of the of our mother, but the mother before that. So it would be the daughter's grandmother. And then when I'm talking about that, I go, it's sort of interesting because if you look at the lineage, it's almost like it's a leapfrog. This has probably gone on generations and generations where the search for the goddess or the what was it, the betrayal by the goddess has been passed down through these women who have been enslaved by what? The psychological impact from one another. And I find that really amazing, because there's so many women I know who are extremely powerful, who had really difficult mothers, and they had to really fight for their sanity and their own integrity as women, and then raise daughters who are really, really difficult and had a very strong negative ego. It's absolutely fascinating, and it just reminds me of the chain gang. Another friend and I used to call it the chain gang, where we just keep passing on this pain. Well, you know something? We're learning right now. We don't have to keep passing it on and passing it on. It's like the people who have the cancer frequencies and passing it on to their adopted children, that we might not be conscious about, but we can begin to be conscious of those kinds of things. And I love energy, because our frequencies, because it really works with shifting our vehicles, our vibrational vehicles of light. And as we come in contact with our mind, with these different kinds of frequencies, holy mackerel, we can stop just passing things on, we can drop inside, we can keep clearing, vibrationally clearing, these really deep impacts that run, that kind of resonate throughout our communities, our culture, our whole collective, and become a much more, a species of many more, unfolding, self-realizing beings, and passing out consciously the kind of frequencies. That's why I call this radiance by design. That's what I think we want to learn, is to radiate by design. So right after this show, we're going to be hearing from Jackie Salvitti on ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. And she's talking about the Divine Feminine. I'm really pleased about that, because, as I said, I was following up last week's show because I was mesmerized by what the team channeled about passing things on through the feminine lineage. So I guess we're going to go through more of that tonight. And I have the privilege of working with her team and asking them a lot of questions. It was great Tuesday night, where I was talking to Christine Upchurch, who was representing Dr. Eric Pearl and being quite an amazing healer herself. She was talking about the reconnection, which Dr. Eric Pearl discovered, but there's these downloads in the universe, and he found out as a chiropractor that his healing work was just really amping up. So he was talking about, or he's helped us all understand about how certain downloads are coming through the universe and really raising our field and frequency, which to me sort of suits what we all know is happening. It's not only is the frequency moving up, but there are these other enhancing frequencies coming in. The universe is not standing still. So having that, and then coming up with Jackie's team, is going to be very, very exciting to follow this show. And next week on Paradigm Shifters, I've got Steve Behrman, who's also known as Swami Beyond Ananda. Steve Behrman co-wrote a book called Spontaneous Evolution. And again, that's using consciousness, frequencies, evolution, stepping out of enslavement, and so on. And he's just brilliant. I found that when I had him on the air just before the elections and so on, even though he's hilarious in the way he uses words, like he talked about weapons of mass distraction, which he says we're living in, he's just brilliant. But his insight and foresight about our evolution is just great. So he's going to be on next week. And the week after that, we're having Bruce Lipton. Isn't that exciting? So those two fellows, with their brilliant perceptions on life, will help us understand about disenslaving ourselves. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, if you'd like a session with me, I love to do sessions. If you'd like a session with me, we'll go in and look at your soul journey, find out what's enslaving you, help you move energetically into a much more realized self. And you can email me, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, no H in Entwistle, .com, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, .com. And guess what? I'm going to have on my Facebook, you're going to be able to become one of my fans. If you'd like to sign up onto my Facebook page to become my friend, pretty soon you'll be able to become a fan, which means that we'll be able to talk and be in cahoots with the various events that are coming up. I'm doing a tour of Los Angeles area starting next week, and we'll be able to talk about, meeting up, various events, how you can feedback the radio and so on. I'm just learning about Facebook, so check it out. So I will say thank you so much for listening. Many, many blessings, and I'll see you at the top of the hour, those of you who can wait, and to tune in to Jackie's show, ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. See you in a few minutes.